be in here in your house, God, to lift you up, to magnify, to give you praise and glory that is so due your name. Lord, I pray you would open our hearts, our minds to receive your word, to be challenged. Lord, we need this in the middle of the week, God, to encourage us and strengthen us, God, to come and fellowship with our brothers and sisters, Lord, to interact with your word, that it would enrich our lives, that it would help us make decisions, God, that are important in our everyday living. God, we love you, Jesus. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you. You are so good, God. You are so worthy to be praised, Lord. And we want to come and lift our hands and lift our voices unto you, Jesus, because you are worthy, Lord. We thank you, God. We praise you, God. Jesus, in your precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other.
Our God is healer,
awesome in power. Our God,
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're on your feet, going to give the opportunity to walk around and greet one another. Tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord on this Wednesday evening. And maybe one of the ushers, if you could grab an offering plate and stand at the back, that would help us out. And you can give worship with your wallet as you walk around and greet one another.
I can do all things, for it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken.
I am living by faith. It is impossible.
I can do anything, I can do all things,
'cause it's you who gives me strength.
Nothing is impossible through you, blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken,
I am living by faith.
Nothing is impossible.
By what I see,
I'm not gonna live by what I feel. Deep down I know that you're here with me. I know I can do anything.
I can do anything, I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you, blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken, I am living by faith.
Nothing is impossible.
By what I see,
I'm not gonna live by what I feel. Deep down I know that
you're here with me.
I know that you can do anything.
Through you I can do anything, I can do all things, for it's you who gives me strength.
Nothing is impossible through you,
blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken, I am living by faith.
Nothing is impossible.
I believe in you. I believe in you. Through you I can do anything, I can do all things, for it's you who gives me strength.
Nothing is impossible through you,
blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken, I am living by faith.
Nothing is impossible.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you. God, we praise you. We thank you.
Bless you for standing. You may be seated. Young people, you may make your way to youth class at this time. I do want to let you know a few things by way of announcement. This coming Sunday, we haven't had this in a while, but we will be having a Sunday night session. We do realize that It is a day of graduation for Sandwich Community Schools, so we do have some families that will be out, and we recognize that, but we still want to kind of kick off what we're going to be doing for our Sunday nights during the summer. So we kind of have some ideas that came out at department heads meetings, so I want to present those to you and kind of kick that off. So we will not be having our Mother's Memorial Luncheon and Bake Sale Auction after service. We're going to postpone that, put that off to a later date. Nothing following the Sunday morning sessions, if you will, until the Sunday night session at 6 p.m. So regular two-session format on Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 o'clock, evangelistic service at 11 o'clock, and then 6 o'clock we'll be coming back together to talk about, kind of introduce what we're going to be doing throughout the summers on our Sunday nights. And with that, there are other events happening. A week from this coming Sunday night is Memorial Day. And so understanding that there will be a lot of people traveling when we have a holiday weekend like that, that's kind of why we restructured our Sundays to have a two-session format on Sunday morning. Gives us some flexibility on Sunday night. And so on Memorial Day weekend, we will not have a PM activity here at the church. So just be aware of that. Other events on the calendar, letting you know what is happening when. As we get into June and July, we start having camps. And so obviously any that can go and be a part of those camps, we encourage that. There's applications online. You can go to the Illinois District website and fill out those applications, submit those applications via that website. And if you need a signature or anything for an application, well, you'll have to come see me for that. But we'll make sure that happens for you. Other events, other things happening on the calendar. Obviously, when we get into the month of July, we have a big event, our Faith Family Fireworks. Davises have allowed us to host. Well, they're going to host, but we're going to put it on. They're just going to give us the property to do so, if you will. So we are going to host that at their place. So we'll have more details following that. About that upcoming. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. One need, Brother Spencer's up with the youth class, but he let me know right before service his grandmother took a pretty bad fall today, broke her wrist, a number of stitches, soreness, and so he just asked that we would pray for his grandmother. She's elderly, not in good health, and this, anytime when you have a very serious fall like that, many times other health complications result. And so let's specifically remember her in prayer. Sister Connie Atkins is not able to be here tonight. She is not feeling well. So let's remember her in prayer. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to bring to the church? Why don't you slip up your hand? Sister Davis saw your hand first. Awesome. Sure. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I remember. Yeah. Yeah, and there seems to be a special connection there with Paul and Sherry, and so let's do pray in that situation, especially pray for Carla. So, yes, was it Sister Christina, see your hand, or was it Sister Rose? Sister Rose, I think it was your hand. Certainly remember the family in that situation. Right. Certainly, let's remember that situation there. Sis Kelly? All right. Sis D? Tony, Veda, and family, certainly. Mrs. Holly? Certainly. Just remember your work situation and little Madeline, certainly. All right, why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we're so thankful that we can come to you. God, with every care and concern of life, Lord, we lift Carla up before you in prayer. God, we see this taking place in her life, God, and we smile and hope, God, of the work that you're doing, God. The expectation we have, a report's coming from her, taking new steps, God, and we ask continue to work on her heart and her life. Use Paul and Sherry on that situation. Lord, we thank you for this great report we've heard, God, of you moving in her, God, and we thank you, God, for what will ultimately happen as she progresses in you, God. We thank you for other needs, God, that come before you in prayer, believing and trusting in your power, Lord, for the little one, God, who's had the appendix removed, God, and having complications. Madeline, Lord, I pray we lift her up before you in prayer, believing and trusting in you, God, to work and minister, help in that situation, God. Lord, for the family of Amanda, God, and the loss of this young lady, God, we ask that you would be a peace, be a help, God. Lord, speak unto the heart and life of every individual attached to this situation, Lord. Tragedy such as this, there's so many questions, so much confusion that surrounds it, Lord, and we know that you are not the author of confusion, Lord, and so we ask that you would work, God, that you would intervene in this situation somehow, some way, God, you would receive glory, God, as hearts are turned towards you, God, in time of question, Lord, we love you, Jesus, we praise you for Tony, Fade, and family, God, dealing with being in hospice, God, and realizing, God, a terminal, God, diagnosis, God, we ask you, Lord, to intervene, God, to do a great work situation, Lord, we lift them up before you for Spencer's grandmother, God. We ask that you would touch her, God. Let her recovery happen speedily. God, for Sister Connie Atkins, we lift her up before you in prayer, believing and trusting in your power to work in her life, God, to do a great and wonderful work, Jesus. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth, how good it is to know you and to serve you, God, to find your help and strength, God, in all that we do, God. Hallelujah. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study entitled Developing the Leader Within You. Last week, we talked about the five different levels of leadership. So as I've done the past couple weeks, I'm going to start out this week with a little review and see how well you listened or maybe how well I taught in reference to last week. And we talked about the five different levels of leadership. So first question, anybody remember what level number one was in the five levels of leadership? Position. That is correct. Anybody remember what position had to do with? We talked about that level. It was an entry-level position. Sister Christy. Okay. And remember, with each one of these, there was the P word, which was the beginning, and then it had to do with an R word. There was an R word. Okay, you haven't built a relationship, but there was a R word that had to do with a position level leadership. Level number one. But I remember what that was. Rights. Rights. You have authority by virtue of the position. That's the only authority you really have, just because you have the right in that particular role to have a leadership position. And then number two, and remember what number two was? Started with a P. Permission. That is correct. You better remember the R word that went with permission. People give you permission to give them leadership because of
Yes, there you are. Now it's relationships. You're developing relationships with people, and by virtue of that relationship, it's not just about your authority in or your right to have authority because of the position. Now you are establishing relationship, and from the basis of relationship, they are giving you permission to lead them, to help them. Sometimes they'll go above and beyond because it's not just about what's expected anymore. It's about a relationship that they want to foster by following the leading. And so, and then number three, remember what number three was? Production. What did production have to do with? Another R word. What was that? Oh. You have to make rates? Okay. It could fall with that. It's an R word. Results. You want results. And then we talked about production being the bridge between permission and number four. What was number four? Another P word. People. People development. How that, remember, production is that bridge from, if you will, the permission to people development, and how many times that's a long process, and sometimes people get frustrated in that process, and sometimes if you don't start producing, then the permission is no longer given. And so we went into detail on all those different things, because people development had to do with what? It was an R word. Develop people, you are developing your replacement. That means you are reproducing. Reproduction. People development had to do with reproducing. In other words, we talked about how that here sometimes people get threatened because they are essentially developing the person that will then take their role or take their position, if you will. And so sometimes that is stymied because people feel threatened when they have personally developed someone, they've gone through these levels, and now that individual has the potential to take over, if you will. And so then we talked about the fifth and final level, which was personhood. Talked about personhood, and there was an R word that went with personhood. Anybody remember what that R word was? Alrighty. Respect. Had to do with respect. We talked about how very few people ever reach level number five of personhood, how that when someone reaches the level five personhood, they lead by sheer virtue of the respect of what they've done and what they've produced and relationship they have. They are larger than life. They pretty much transcend the position, if you will, and their influence and their impact reaches far beyond their life. And so we talked about this. We talked about this in reference to coming to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, how that we can look back through human history and understand that if ever there was a consummate leader, if ever there was one who had all five levels and one who reached level five, if you will, in the personhood, it was the man Christ Jesus. And so we talked about that. So we talked about those different levels, and obviously one of the questions that would arise in that is, okay, so how do we excel? How do we go? How do we graduate from one level to another? What are some key traits? What are some characteristics that maybe we're not born with it, but we can learn, and by that learning and by that knowledge, these qualities and characteristics can be born in us. And so tonight we're going to talk about one of the keys to leadership. One of the keys to leadership. One of the things that we have to do if we are going to graduate, if we are going to go from one level to another. In our levels of leadership, and I'm not trying to define that level for you. We talked about that level being different based upon different circles, family and social and work and all those different things. But if there's truly a desire to not be the exception, if you will, or the excuse like everybody else, but to be exceptional, the desire to truly excel, then I have to learn what those traits are that I'm missing. I have to find, and what we're going to teach on tonight, I realize pretty quickly, I'm not doing this very well. And we're going to look at a scripture verse, and then we're going to talk about it. But before we do that, we had this quote from last week. Success without a blank is blank in leadership. Anybody remember what this quote was? Success without a blank is blank in leadership. I see I did an amazing job teaching. Brother Al? Goal? No. Success without a successor. Who said that? Good job, Joseph. Success without a successor is what in leadership? Failure. Success without a successor is failure in leadership. So let's go to the Bible. Let's look before we get into the key ingredient, if you will, or one of the key characteristics of being a great leader or developing the leader in you. Let's look at a passage of Scripture. It's found in Haggai, all places. Haggai chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Having the King James Version and also in the New Living Translation. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Because, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and you have run every man into his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. New Living Translation reads like this. You hoped for a rich harvest, but they were poor. When you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, saith the Lord of heaven's armies. While all of you are busy building your own fine houses, it's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. Now, what in your wildest imagination would be a key ingredient that could be attached to this passage of Scripture? What is something that should be a part of our leadership ability, a trait, a characteristic that we should see in this passage of Scripture? Anybody want to give a guess? Building the house of God? Okay, starts with a P. Don't be cheating by looking at the screen, Brother Jay. Priorities. Getting your priorities straight. The key to leadership, priorities. Lesson number two, getting your priorities straight. Essentially, the prophet said, listen, because you don't have your priorities straight, and you're off building your house, and you're all trying to do these things instead of taking care of the house of God first, you don't have your priorities right. And because you don't have your priorities right, guess what? You wanted a good harvest, and you didn't get a good harvest. And what you brought, I blew it away. Why? Because you don't have your priorities straight. And one of the key ingredients, one of the key characteristics, traits of leadership is being able to prioritize. Being able to put things in their rightful place and understand what is important and focusing upon those things that are important. So, one of the great keys of leadership is priorities. The ability to correctly prioritize is essential in developing the leader within you. If I want to graduate, if I want to excel, if I want to get to the next level in leadership, I've got to learn how to prioritize. Because no matter what level I'm at, unless I'm at level 5, if you are, then by all means, God bless you. But unless you are at level 5, there are things that need to be prioritized in order for you to get to the next level. If I'm just in a position level and I want to get to the permission level, guess what? There's things that I need to prioritize if I am going to make that jump. If I'm going to graduate from position to permission, there are things that I have to prioritize. And if I'm going to go from permission to production, there are things I have to prioritize. So whatever level of leadership you may be at, there has to be some prioritization. It's a big word. In order for me to be able to go from one level to the next. Success may be accurately defined as the progressive realization of a predetermined goal. Now that's a mouthful, but think about it. Success can accurately be defined as progressive realization of a predetermined goal. I'm being successful. I'm seeing results as I have a predetermined goal, and that goal is being met. And the only way I recognize I prioritize things, and by that prioritization, I am realizing success because I am meeting those predetermined goals. I'm finding those things that are important, I'm prioritizing those things, and I'm making those things happen, and as a result, production is increased. It's called the Pareto Principle. I guess that's how you pronounce it. I'm not really sure. Commonly called the 20-80 principle. This principle asserts that 20% of your priorities will give you 80% production if you spend your time, energy, money, and personnel on the top 20 priorities. Now, here's the issue. It's finding those top 20 priorities. In other words, if I can prioritize correctly, the top most important 20% of priorities will constitute a fourfold return of 80% production. So if I can find those priorities that are important and I make them priorities, I put them first, guess what? The production or the return upon that is fourfold. In almost every organization, churches included, 20% of the people do approximately 80% of the work. Sometimes it's 10-90. 10% of the people do 90% of the work. But the principle here is that in most, even within churches, you would think that, well, churches are different than other organizations, but essentially they're not, because they're made up of people. And because of that, in even a church, small church, large church, it really does. It's not even relative to size. The reality is that almost in any size church or organization, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It's just a standard rule. So if you focus upon those 20% and you spend your time and your effort and your resources, this is one of those strategies that business all over corporate America are trying to accomplish. They're trying to find that top 20%. They're trying to find those key figures, if you will, those key people that make the business a success, and they key in on those. Or those areas of business that make the business a success, and they key on them. And as a result, production is increased. Well, let's think about it even in the sense of the church. In the reality, if you were to take this church, and if we were to take all the names and we were to put a percentage by how much work is done by an individual on a percentage basis, we would find that approximately 20% of the people do approximately 80% of the work. Just there. If you have a church of 100, that means 20 of those people are the ones that are really making that church go. It's just a principle that's there. And those are key people that if they're no longer a part of the congregation, it suffers severely. Now, here's the other caveat to that. Then you have 80% or 80 people that they're there and they come. I knew it was going to get quiet in here. It's the 20-80 principle. And this is what happens. And you're going to see this. And man, when I started looking at this, I was like, my Lord, that's good. Now, I didn't write this book, but I'm glad somebody did. Because it's helping me see some things. And one of the ways that you can recognize faulty prioritization, you can find out that things are not being prioritized like they should. Three things happened. And you'll find that even in a small church or a small organization, these three main problems happen. And they happen together. You have abuse, which is you have too few people are doing too much. 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. Abuse, too few people are doing too much, and burnout happens, and frustration happens, and those few people are doing too much. And then you have disuse, where too many people are doing too little. 80%, well, they're coming. Maybe putting a little contribution in the plate. I'm not demeaning that. But there's more that they could be doing, but they're not. You have disuse. Abuse, disuse, and misuse. Too many people doing the wrong things. And whenever you have faulty prioritization, these three problems are the result. Abuse, disuse, and misuse. These three things happen as a result of faulty prioritization. Now, you can even see this even in an individual sense, where if I am not correctly prioritizing, guess what? Things get, I spend too much time doing too much stuff that doesn't really matter. I've found this when, and we'll get into a little bit more, but even from a person, I'm the type of person, here's the thing, I'm the type of person that if I think I can do it, I want to do it, right? And so it bugs me to pay somebody to change the oil in my vehicle. You want to know why? Because I can change the oil in my vehicle. But my wife brought this to my attention not too long ago. And I realized that in changing the oil of the vehicle, I had to go to the store. I had to purchase the oil. I had to purchase the filter. I had to make sure I had the right tools. And sometimes when you have a special car, you have to have a special tool, a special oil filter wrench, which I had to have. I did. I went to remove the oil filter, and I broke the prong on it. I had to glue the prong back. And what I realized is that thing that I could have taken to a shop, and they could have done in 30 minutes, now, because it's a vehicle and it's a sport utility, it'll probably cost me $70, $80 to have the oil change with full synthetic oil, you know, all the... But what ended up taking me 3 hours, and I had to purchase all the supplies, guess what? I realized I ain't prioritizing correctly because it cost me more money to change my own oil. Now, we laugh, but I realize, I sat down, what do I make per hour? What is this? Wait a second. I'm losing money at this deal, and I had to do all the work. So here's the thing. Here's some pretty key questions we can ask ourselves in relation to prioritizing. Number one, requirements. What is required of me? What's required of me in this role, in the position, in whatever I'm in? What is required of me? What must I do that nobody else can do? In other words, I have to do that. There's nobody else in this organization. There's nobody else in this family. Or there's nobody else at this particular job site. Or there's nobody else. Nobody else can do these things. I have to do these things. Or I am better at these things than others that surround me. Okay? Now, be careful because this is where pride comes. You say, well, I'm better than everybody at all these things. Well, just be careful. Too many priorities will paralyze you. So just keep that in mind. But I ask, what can I do that no one but me can do? What are the requirements? One of the first things that I did when I was elected in Florida, when I was elected as youth president, I had a meeting with the district superintendent. And he said, well, I want to answer any questions. And I said, okay. I said, here's my first question. What are the requirements? He said, well, what do you mean? I said, I want to know what is required of me as a youth president. What are the requirements of the position? And I think it caught him off guard because he didn't have a ready answer. He was like, well, I mean, I need to go back into the manual and make sure I have them all correct. And he tried to do some of them from memory. He said, you know what? I need to get back with you. I need to tell you. I said, listen, I want to know exactly what my requirements are. It's not that I just want to do the minimum, but I just want to make sure the minimum is at least getting done. I don't want to miss something, so please give me the job requirements of this position because I want to know what's expected of me. I want to know what those requirements are because I need to be able to rifle through those things and find out, okay, what do I need to delegate to the secretary? And what do I need to delegate to sectional leaders? And what do I, if all these things have to be done, what are the requirements that are specific to my role? Right? Those I have to prioritize. Those have to be the main thing. Everything else is a trickle down. I can maybe, but if I get those things first, that's what matters. So what can I do that no one else can do? Nobody but me can do that. The buck stops with me on these things. Well, that's a good place to start. That's a good place to start prioritizing. What stops with me? And then what produces greatest return? Here's an honest question that, am I doing what I do best? I realized I'm not the best oil changer there is.
I can do it. I got the job done. The vehicle's still running. But guess what? I'm not the best oil changer there is. So maybe that shouldn't be a priority in my life. Maybe the priority should be focusing on something else that makes more money so that I can afford to go and have somebody else change my oil. Am I doing what I do best? What produces the greatest return? What can I do that's going to cause the production to increase? What can I do that's going to cause the results to come rolling in? What can I personally do? How can I personally contribute? And then the question must be asked, what is most rewarding? Am I making a satisfying contribution? Remember we talked about this last week. We all do things on the basis of return on investment. It's just a part of our nature. We do things based upon what we get back a lot of times. And that's why we get frustrated when we put time and effort and resources into things and it doesn't produce results. We get frustrated. And really the frustration a lot of times comes from our inability to correctly prioritize. Because if we would find the top 20% and focus upon those things, guess what? There's a principle in place that says, I will have greater production. The results will come as a result of focusing on the main things or prioritizing. It's a great quote. It was one that I kind of, it was a different quote, but I don't like it as much, so I revamped it. One cannot underestimate the importance of many things, nor can one overestimate the importance of a few things. See, there's a lot of things we spend our time doing that really we can't underestimate how really insignificant they are. We can't underestimate their importance. I mean, it is so, they're not really important much at all, but we spend time doing them. There's a lot of things that we do in our daily lives that in the grand scheme, really, I mean, they may offer, a modicum of relaxation or maybe, the blow off steam, whatever. But when it comes to really making us able to achieve our goals, so I got to level 173 on Candy Crush. That's great. That's wonderful. And if you want to post that to social media, I like all the other people who read that and will say you have way too much time on your hands. But if you prioritize your ability, okay, I'm not going to go. One cannot underestimate the importance of many things. In other words, they're so far below what we label them at or the time we give them. We may even think they're unimportant. But really, the time and effort that we give to them shows that they're not, at least not to us. They somehow are important to us, but in the grand scheme of things, they're really not all that influential. They're negatively impacting our lives. They're not helping us achieve our goals. Story of the lighthouse keeper. A lighthouse keeper who worked on a rocky stretch of coastline was given a new supply of oil for the beacon at the beginning of each month. The lighthouse, not being far from a town, had frequent visitors. One night, a visitor asked for some oil to heat her house. Then another stopped by and asked for oil to light a lamp. Another asked for oil to lubricate a wheel. The lighthouse keeper felt all requests were legitimate, and in an attempt to please all that asked, granted each appeal for oil. Nearing the end of the month, the oil supply was running low, then very low, and finally, the night before the resupply was to arrive, the oil was gone and the beacon went out. That night, several ships wrecked along the coastline and much of material and life was lost. The lighthouse keeper, repentant and regretful, realized he was given oil for one priority, to keep the beacon lit. Wow. How true. Well, they need this and need that and there's requests. And all these things in life are appealing for my attention and my time and my resources. And all these things that happen and I'm going here and I'm going there and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. reality is, maybe I'm spending oil and I'm giving out oil. It is really, it's for one priority. It's to keep the beacon lit. It's to make sure that other people are safe. It has the greatest impact that it has. It was legitimate that somebody needed to heat the house. That's legitimate. Legitimate that somebody needed to light a house. They needed oil for the light. Legitimate that somebody had a squeaky wheel and needed lubrication. All those are legitimate appeals. But that wasn't the purpose of the oil. The purpose of the oil had one priority, and that was to simply keep the beacon lit. The reason most major goals are not achieved is because we do second things first. Think about that statement. The reason why most major goals are not achieved is because we do second things first. We do not properly prioritize. My dad had a saying growing up, and I'm sure he wasn't original with him. He got it from somewhere. He would say it. He said, "Son, keep the main thing the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Prioritize. Make sure that what you're spending your time and effort on matters. And make sure it matters the most. Make sure, make it be the priority of your life." So let's talk about some tips for prioritizing. Number one, decide what to do and do it. Decide what not to do and don't do it. Pretty simple, but yet profound. Decide what to do. Decide what's important. Find the top 20%. Find those things that really matter and do it. But then also find those things that don't matter and stop doing them. Prioritize. Decide what to do and do it. Decide what not to do and then don't do it. We get that backwards. We talk about things that really matter and what's really important, and then we don't end up doing it. And then stuff that is unimportant and stuff that really doesn't matter, guess what? We find ourselves doing. And then we wonder why we're not graduating. We wonder why we're not excelling to the next level. We wonder why we're not making the next level of leadership in our lives and our family and the situation. Why? Because we're failing to properly prioritize. We're not putting things in the rightful place. Too many priorities will paralyze. Find the important few and focus your resources there. Well, everything's important, Pastor. Everything may be important, but not everything is equally important. Catch that. So somewhere in all those important things that we have to do, we have to prioritize. Now, maybe you're good at this. I'm not. They tell you all the time, all in business, and make yourself a list. I'm horrible at making lists. It needs to be a priority in my life. It's not. But I don't. I don't have time to make a list. Well, reality, you don't have time not to make a list. Because what happens is when you don't make a list and you don't prioritize, preaching to myself, you end up spending a lot of time on little things that do not matter. And they may be good things. They may be things that are warranted. The appeals may be all right. They may be legitimate. They may be good. The good can be the enemy of the best. Think about that. It may be good, but it may not be the best. It's good that I can change my own oil. My daddy taught me how to do that. But what maybe daddy didn't say, I don't know, he probably did, son. Maybe when you get old enough, you just make enough money where you don't have to do this and you pay somebody else to do it. Prioritize. I don't know. But the good can be the enemy of the best. Maybe it's a better use of my time not to change my own oil. Maybe. Maybe it's a better use of my time to find something else I'm better at. Because the good can be the enemy of the best. So when you sit down and you make a list or you try to prioritize, make sure what's at the top is the best. Best. What's required? What's rewarding? What's going to help me see results? That's what I focus on. I find that top 20% and I focus my time and effort. That doesn't mean I neglect everything else. No, it just means that I prioritize. That I make sure those things are done first. I have in the book, I forgot her name, they ask a concert violinist what she did in order to make herself of the caliber of violinist that she was. And she said, well, early on I struggled. And she said, the reason why I struggled is because practice wasn't a priority for me. Practice was happened after I got everything else done. And then I would practice. She said, but early on, I figured I wasn't advancing and I wasn't excelling. I wasn't getting to the place I wanted to be. I wasn't excelling like I wanted to excel at playing the violin. She said, so I switched my priorities. And what I did is I said, I practice first. And then I take care of everything else. And she said, when I did that, I started growing by leaps and bounds. She said, I found myself spending more time in practice. And as a result, I am the concert violinist that I am today. Why? It was just a switch in priorities. It was just a change. It was just a realization that these things are good, but they're not the best. And if my goal, if success for me, if the predetermined goal of success for me as a musician is to be a concert violinist, which is not for me, right? But for her it was. Then priorities had to change. There had to be a shift. Here's a hard one. If it can be handled by someone else, find someone else to do it. Now, that doesn't mean, let's clarify. That doesn't mean that you delegate everything so you can sit back with iced tea and watch the sunrise. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there are sometimes we spend our time and effort doing things that other people could do and do them well. But because we haven't prioritized, because this thing isn't anywhere on the list, it's just something that needs to be done, so we do it. You don't sit down and take the time and say, wait, maybe I can delegate this to somebody else. Maybe somebody else would be willing to do this. Maybe somebody else would be happy to do this. And it's driving me nuts trying to get it accomplished. Finally, Scripture reveals how important priorities are. Look at Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Jesus speaking, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Wait a second. Those seem to be priorities. What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, especially for women. That's a joke. Y'all missed it. What are we going to drink? Take no thought. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Well, after all these things does everybody seek? Everybody sees that as a priority. Everybody sees food, clothing, and shelter as priorities. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This comes after Jesus says, hey, consider the lilies. How they toil, how they spin not. Guess what? Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed as one of these. Think about that. Solomon, all his accomplishments, all that he did, he was not arrayed as one of those lilies. What Jesus is saying, listen, get your priorities straight. If we're going to build a successful spiritual house, let me tell you this, we got to get a priority straight. Same principle in business, same principle in our daily lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If I get my priority straight in my spiritual house, guess what? God is going to add. It's the same way in business. It's the same way in a secular sense. It's the same way in a natural sense. It's the same way in the family. It's the same way in the workplace. It's if I get things in the right, proper order, and I make the main thing, and I put things in the proper place, and I prioritize, guess what? It's going to help me reach the next level. It's going to help me find what is important and focus my attention upon that thing, and results, production, that's going to happen as a result of me prioritizing and making sure I make the main things
the main things. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. As I begin to read down through this chapter and highlight, and as I've done throughout from the beginning of reading this book, spending the time, and obviously as I do with all other studies, this has some of my own flavor in it, if you will. But I realized I got to get better at this. This is an area that I personally struggle with, correctly prioritizing some things. I need God's help to help me prioritize when it comes to putting things in the rightful place and making sure what needs to happen or should happen, what is the best, is focused upon. I don't know, maybe it's not for you, but it certainly was for me. And understanding that if I'm going to graduate, if I'm going to make it to the next level, if I'm going to be the type of leader that God wants me to be, I've got to learn how to prioritize. I've got to learn how to put things in their proper place. Focus upon those things. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you teach us these principles, God, throughout scriptures, and we see them, God, displayed, God, in the life that you live. Lord, help us, each and every one of us, whether in a spiritual sense, God, to certainly and most importantly place you first, God, and seek your righteousness, seek your will for our lives, God, in a spiritual sense, but certainly also in a secular and natural sense, Lord, that whether it be in our workplace, whether it be among our family, God, whatever the role is that we are playing, God, whatever leadership position we may have and whatever influence, God, we may acquire in the sense of others. Lord, let us desire to prioritize, to be an example in word and deed in what we do and how we live, that our lives would show that we know how to prioritize and put things in their proper place. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.